This is the Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
And good morning, and this is the Deep Dive, and this is Brooke Spector. Today's guest, we're not going to talk about the Lady R ship. We're not going to talk about the Ukrainian war. We're not going to talk about BRICS. We're not going to talk about service non-delivery. We're not going to talk about price inflation, exploding gas mains, any of these things. We're going to talk about a classic work of theater that has been modernized, reconceived, rethought through, turned into a kind of feminist literature, very different from the way I think it was originally conceived. It's 60 years old. It's Contemba's short story, The Suit, but we're not going to talk to Contemba, obviously, either, because he's not around to talk to us. But we are going to talk to Motovi Motlohatzi, the man who, when it was first turned into a drama together with the late Barney Simon, was instrumental in bringing The Suit to the stage as a drama back in 1994, I believe. Gosh, I got a good memory sometimes. It was done about 10 years later as a dance drama conceived by choreographer Boise Sekwanek, music by Ole Norman.
Yes.
I remember all this. I cried. I thought it was wonderful. Motovi doesn't dance and he doesn't write music, but he's been a successful journalist, author, anthologizer. I have a book that you did years and years ago. It's got a green and black and white cover on it.
Okay, Reconstruction.
That's the one. I have that upstairs. Was and is instrumental in running Scoville Publishers. And obviously is a playwright as well. I've known him for decades, and I'm really 1975, a story which you may not even remember. You handed me a box of your writing when it looked for all the world like the police were going to round up everybody.
I hope you have the originals.
I returned them to you years ago after we came back to South Africa. You were afraid, I think, with reasonable fear, that something was going to happen. We carried that box around the world with us for 20 years.
And saved me from unnecessary, unpaid holiday.
That, shall we say, unpaid holiday with three meals a day and clothing and a roof over your head, courtesy of the state. Anyway, it's a pleasure to have you as a guest, Motovi Motlohatzi. And he's here partly because of who he is and partly because of the revival of this story, stroke play, stroke musical, but with a twist. It's very different than what it was. Without giving a spoiler to the people who don't know it, you've done something very different to it.
Well, thanks a lot, Luke, for the reunion, as well as the honor of speaking to your listeners about this passionate universal story that was crafted by the iconic drum journalist Contemba and published almost 63 years ago, more than 60, because it was conceived in June in the first edition of the Classic magazine, which Barney Simon was one of the editors together with the late Nenda Kasa. The irony is that Barney had forgotten about it when I had approached him to directed. He says, "Oh, now I remember that story." I said, "But I'm the one who's approaching you to direct this story because you would have the understanding of the period of the 50s, Safar Town, and so forth." So this time I decided to go back to the original concept in which I make Matilda, the housewife in the story, a musician. And not an ordinary musician, but a violin virtuoso.
She was, in the original story, she's just
a housewife.
A housewife who becomes disaffected with her marriage, shall we say.
In marriage, and she not given a voice to explain herself. The story then, or the original, is told from the husband's point of view. The one who has been upstaged by the other man.
Who in the original version has no
name.
Voice, no name
either.
He's just a fleeting presence.
Yeah, he's a man in the underpants.
Basically, out the window and gone. And he leaves his suit.
No, he leaves his treasured clothing, a suit, but not only a suit, a blue suit.
Was it blue?
Yes.
Okay.
And that becomes the third person as a contemporary face to it and turns the life of Matilda upside down in a way she had never anticipated.
He turns, her life is turned upside down in the original because her husband now seeks revenge and asks her to always have the suit as a dinner guest. Wherever they go, she has to carry the suit on a hanger. It's a kind of a red flag in front of an oncoming train.
The irony is that he doesn't want to wreak revenge. He wants to be near the suit to ensure that the owner doesn't come back. That's not revenge.
I always saw it as a revenge fantasy.
No, because if it were revenge, he would have burned the suit. So he treasures it.
Okay.
And of course,
treats it as a
he makes sure that the owner doesn't come and collect it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, ends up imprisoning himself in the suit that he's not wearing. But that is frightening her because it assumes a personality that he is creating as a third person in the house.
If I'm not mistaken, I have a vague memory of a photograph that stages the salient details of the story. It shows husband and wife walking down the street.
Yes, in fact, it's the most, I would think, violent image because she is in pain. He is on cloud nine.
Triumphant looking.
Yeah, and he's walking past, I counted actually the streets, 17 streets showing off. You go past the St. Cyprian Anglican Church where the congregants are just coming out. It's a Sunday afternoon.
So there's a whole backstory to this photograph as I remember.
Yeah, more and more. But he comes back. They return home and casually says to her, give the old fellow a rest today. And she's fuming inside because it was the most humiliating outing they had taken.
I can imagine.
Yes, but to him, and then he decides to read by picking up a book on abnormal psychology. Whoa.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
But now you have taken the original story, which was the initial clay.
Yeah, the drama only.
And first with Barney Simon turned it into a drama.
Yes.
And then you obviously saw the dance version like I did.
Yeah, because he asked me, Boise, I asked for permission.
Now you have recast it yet again. What would the original author, what would Contemba have said with what's been done to this work?
He said, wow, I never could have given her that voice because he had written it to portray Philemon's humiliation and did not return to unpacking why did she end up in that situation.
This is The Deep Dive. I'm Brooke Spector, as usual, and we're speaking with Motobi Motlohatse just ahead of the opening of The Suit Reconcertized, as it says. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is The Deep Dive. I'm Brooke Spector, and my guest today is Motobi Motlohatse. And no, he's not talking about the Lady R. He's not talking about war. He's not talking about inflation. He's not talking about service delivery or gas explosions. We're talking about a trip back in time that has been thoroughly reimagined and revisualized and reshaped. Classic tale by Contemba, The Suit. And it's been, instead of being a tale of revenge, I guess.
Or infidelity.
It's been reimagined. The characters that only had sort of a shadowy presence in the story get their own voices now.
And they are sometimes very painful voices because we also questioning the old man Mapigela, who is the one who has the nature or even the misfortune of having to tell Philemon your wife is being visited by a young man?
Well, presumably she's a young wife too.
Well, it could be, but the emphasis on young.
Do something else with this.
Young, because even then, Matilda in this play is quite young. She's in the 30s. Yeah, but this is painful episode in the play because for the first time, Philemon is feeling shattered. His life is no longer the same. He's on his way to work.
There's a moment where everything's fine, and then all of a sudden,
upside down,
it's all gone.
Yeah,
it's all
in
the sand,
and he has to then turn around and head home. We hope that it is not true.
And the physical evidence is the suit.
Yes, because he unfortunately is shocked to find that the allegation is true. So it's no longer an allegation.
Now, this story is from the 60s. The play version is from the 90s. Why are we going to see it again? Why does this suddenly have a new life?
The new life is that simply Matilda has now got a voice. Who am I in the play, she would say. This is who I was. I had a life and a career. I led an orchestra, not just an orchestra, but a classical orchestra in Sophiatown, which would be almost like a unique occurrence. But
yeah, there weren't too many orchestras in Sophiatown.
But there were classical singers, I found.
Yeah. No, there were. There were musicians.
Yes,
there were groups. I know.
One of them is 86-year-old Ma Iris Letanka Nkosi, who lives in London. She then said, yes, all the time Sophiatown music is jazz. It's not true.
Yeah.
We were there. So it is also a...
You can talk to my wife about her piano teacher
as a classical instructor.
Exactly.
Yeah,
who
student.
Made a living doing jazz and school instruction, but whose first love was classical music.
Yes. So what you call Matilda, this new version is a representation of all those fantastic musicians who came and made a name for themselves, but were not given due recognition. And she also reflects on the kind of music they played then. So it's a flashback to, whether you call it a glorious past, but an unusual period in Sparta, a renaissance of sorts.
If I understand this correctly, then we're seeing the story in the original version of the short story and the first version of the play. Mm-hmm. It is seen through largely the eyes of the husband.
Yes, Philemon.
This version now, you've tipped it on its head, and we're seeing the story through the eyes of
Matilda and her alter ego musician self.
Okay.
And you are even given a slice of her musical collection, live. So the violin player is real in the play, not imagined or simulated.
Is this what intrigued your director, Rono Siane, to do it?
Well, I had to choose a female director.
Yes.
I was very clear. And one who would be sensitive, who also had a background as an actor. And she was recommended to me by a dear friend. And I was relieved that I could, for the first time, go back to the assignment I had given myself.
And she readily embraced this, or you had to drag her to the table?
No. We were interrupted by lockdown.
This thing has been in the works for years.
Yes, it must get off the ground now and see what it is and how also she chisel it into a work of art. Because I believe it has a huge potential to be one of the greatest interpretation of Ken Tempa's work.
Now, I mean, I don't have problems. Some people have problems with reinterpretations and reuse, and I don't. I mean, I'm always fascinated when succeeding authors, playwrights, composers can take a work of one moment, one period, and reshape it for another and deliver different stories. I mean, many people know the opera by Puccini, Madame Butterfly.
Yes.
but fewer people know that it was based on a play by David Belasco, which had been inspired
by
a small news story years before that, and that subsequently it has been rethought into yet another play,
medium.
M. Butterfly.
Yes. And because I think that's what art is all about. It has many interpretations, only if you dare reimagine it. And this one was not to stray too far from the original concept, man and a wife, then suit. But then you ask a question, why was the suit there? And where is this chap? Why did he end up there? Then in the play, he also has a personality. A shady character, if you want to call it.
Yeah, because in the original story, the why he's there is sort of left dangling.
Yes.
He's there because there's an opportunity to have a romantic relationship with an attractive woman. Okay.
Yeah, he's a former fellow musician, a childhood friend. So there is a relationship they had before, and he accidentally bumps into her house as a salesman. He really hit the skits, you know, and he has to sell insurance. And that was the period when funeral schemes were introduced in Sofar Town. So Tozambile is a name I give the third man a name in terms of who he was. He was also both a singer as well as he played the viola. So it's not just a guy who was just faceless and would remain faceless.
Okay, it's not just some fleeting pickup after a night out.
And it is not as if she's picked up low life herself. No. And why did they do this despite all the risk inherent in it?
Love.
No. Music.
Music.
Music is to blame.
It's all the fault of those musicians.
Yes. Let the music play on. And that's what happened. So the fault is music as well as the solution in the end.
This is The Deep Dive. I'm Brooks Spector, and my guest today is Motobi Mukwasi.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooks Spector.
This is The Deep Dive, and I'm Brooks Spector again, and we're back with my guest for this morning, Motobi Mukwasi, playwright, journalist, anthologist, publisher, and now the creative force behind the reconfiguration of
reimagined
Kantemba classic short story, The Suit, which is now The Suit reconcertized.
It's concertized because there's a concert inside the story this time.
Before we get too far into this, it's opening at the Joburg Theater.
Mandela Theater.
On the
15th
of September.
It's the first preview. Yeah.
Okay. And it runs for what, a week, 2 weeks?
It's a week. It's a week ending on the Heritage Day, Sunday, 24th.
Ah, okay. And you have assembled, or the process has brought together a cast of people. Maybe this is a sign of our times, but they have a lot of television experience, although some of them obviously have been on live stage as well.
But their first love, as they have said before, is live theater. Kunene playing the husband even won his first stage award as Philemon in the previous edition that we staged at then Joburg Civic Theater.
I remember him years ago in a Tennessee Williams play.
Serious play, yeah. And he is, for me, the ideal interpreter of the complexities of Philemon. And then, of course, Cujo Green is the new version of Matilda. I think I found the right mix, as well as the Tozambile, the lover, being Brian Temba, who has a unique talent as both actor and singer. He had been in the first edition of The Lion King in London.
That's right.
He's one of the few people in this country who can sing and act.
Different things. A lot of singers can act.
But
very few actors can sing.
Transition to the other side.
And I've never quite understood how that happens.
Well, it's based on training. On Broadway, you are required to even dance, to sing, dance, act.
Yeah, because otherwise you cut out 90% of the possible roles you're ever going to get. Go learn.
And this is the first time all three of them are in the same production, a magic.
There should be a certain buzz on the...
No, definitely with backing of a string and, in fact, horn section. It should be a wonderful theatrical experience for all to have.
Now, this is obviously not the only thing you're involved in. I mean, you're not a young man anymore, but you're still active and vital, and you do lots of things. What other projects are coming up after this for you?
And there's not after. Tonight, we are launching political memoir of Professor Malekapulu Makoba at the University of Johannesburg.
Okay.
And thereafter, I have to return to the third volume in my trilogy on a space journey called Saturn, Here We Come.
A children's story.
Yes, it's the third. The first one was The Boy Who Could Fly, followed by Viva Dalu in 16 languages.
I did not realize.
Yes, well, you have to do something to stay alive in this country, or else you'll just wither and complain about politics, about lack of democratic principles. Eh?
Yeah. Otherwise, you get to sit on a chair in front of the general dealer's store with a newspaper and you complain to your friend and you say, wasn't like that when we were in Georgia.
Yes, the world is coming to an end. No, it is when we have this kind of attention that we need to be creative. Because remember, during the apartheid years, we were dared to be creative and we rallied to the cause. So the same thing is being asked of creative people.
You were always politically engaged, but not a politician.
Not party politically.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Yes. But
intellectually engaged in the larger question. Is that fair to say?
It is true, because some of us are disciples of Amilcar Cabral and Franz Fanon, who believe that it's through the arts, through art, culture, and heritage that we can make an impact without being held to ransom by narrow ideologies or perceived ideologies.
I remember a paragraph, and I wish I actually had it in front of me. I don't have it now. Mm-hmm. It was something that Steve Biko had written, which talked about the quote-unquote revolution he was looking for was something within the minds of people.
That, yes, to give the world a human face that this country would give. Or else then also saying that the mind is a dangerous place to hide or even waste. So the issue is, it's in the cultural space some of us feel liberated to express ourselves. Not on political platforms.
But that leads me to the question that it seems in this country more than in many places, although sadly also in the United States as well these days, politics occupies one place and this intellectual process is somewhere else and they don't connect. And the people who practice rigorous intellectual projects don't have a direct impact on politics anymore. There was a time where there was an overlap, I think.
Yeah, it was, as I remember, when the late Hugh Masekela bemoaned what was happening in the country and said the artists or the cultural workers should speak for themselves because nobody will speak for the artists. And it would be wrong for artists to be just mere entertainers to their political operatives. So we are not subordinate to politicians. Could never be, will never be, unless we want to abdicate our responsibilities of also being thinkers, dreamers, and pathfinders.
Pathfinders. We're going to take a quick ad break again. This is The Deep Dive.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
And this is The Deep Dive, and I'm Brooke Spector, and my guest today Moltovi Motlwatsi, man of letters, man of journalism, man of the theater, book publisher, all manner of things. Known him for decades and decades. I'm pleased to be able to talk with him today because shortly a revisualization of a classic short story, The Suit, coming back on stage as this time with a more feminist approach. The central arc of the story now goes to the female lead.
The housewife, Matilda.
Who has given up on ambitions and has angers and fears and hopes and things don't go as planned.
Yes, she seems to have lost the plot as a human being until by accident there's this knock at the door because she had confined herself to being a housewife in the hope to make something of her marriage. So her sacrifices may have been misplaced.
And things spin out of control.
Yeah, as they say, you can't plan the future. Finds you.
You can try it, but it doesn't work so well. When the story first came out, the story itself was not banned, but the publication was.
Yes, the collection of the short stories. Because he was now living in that's Kentemba in Swaziland, had gone back to teaching.
I didn't realize he was in Swaziland.
Yes, that's where he passed on at a Catholic mission there.
Because I spent some years there as well.
Yes, and then this story has its own life because Mrs. Temba, his wife, told me that he wrote it in one fell swoop, if one can use that phrase. He went to his typewriter at late at night, and he went bang, 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 bang. Swiggy, this is going to make you rich, and gave it to her.
Sound effects, Mike.
Yes.
We'll tell me about the watch for a minute. And those are the days of manual typewriters.
Yes, you know. That's what it was. So, and didn't alter it. Unfortunately, it didn't make him money when he was alive. It was many, many years later that I was asked by my drum editor then, where I was working, the late Stan Muchuari, who organized lunch for Mrs. Temba with the owner of drum, Jim Bailey, and we were introduced. And then Brastel said to me, please look after her because there are many people who want to use her husband's stories, but she doesn't know how. Could you handle it? I said, yes. And after that, I started getting requests to republish the story, the suit. 1, 2, 3, 4. I said, excuse me, what's going on here? Why don't I think of something else? And then I read John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men. I said, even John writes in a dramatic fashion. You can even, what you call, dramatize. And I started doing an adaptation. And then I ended up being told, no, somebody has already done it. And I abandoned it. I said, why don't I do the suit?
Well, I mean, Of Mice and Men lent itself easily to a script. I mean, it was written almost as if it was a film script.
That's how the writer is, yeah.
Less so Grapes of Wrath. But
No, the other one's heavier.
Bill made a great film.
Mm-hmm.
Although the film ends optimistically.
Yes. Not
the novel does not.
Callback.
Mm-hmm. But Of Mice and Men, I mean, it's been filmed several times.
So many places, yeah.
And I think dramatically as well. I don't know who plays the mouse, but. Now, I'm trying to remember exactly where I first read it. And obviously it wasn't in classic because I had not yet made the
notions of it. You would have picked up a copy from the old exclusive books or Vanguard books in Bramfontein and exclusive in Dan Hildreth. Because those were the only two bookshops that would keep that kind of book.
Because somewhere upstairs in my house,
there
are some copies of classic and new classic and various anthologies in which I believe The Suit figures.
Mm-hmm.
But to some degree, it's become a sort of forgotten, quote unquote, classic of the time.
Yeah, but what was interesting is that the late Sir Peter Brook in London, but based in Paris, requested that I come and see them because you wanted to attend the French version. And I was exalted to have met this legendary man of theater.
Mm.
And he said, no, he liked this piece, he wanted to attend it. Of course, he did the French version. 6 years later, he said, no, I'd like to have it. I have a go again. He did an English version, taught and produced royalties I'd never seen before. I think at one stage was a check for $250,000. I started counting the zero. I said, no, no, no. There's a problem with this figure.
Typewriter made a mistake.
Yes, yeah. I looked.
And 20 zeros.
True. And then he comes the third time. Can he do an English version with music? And unfortunately, he's passed on. He would have been the kind of person I would want to do the movie version.
Some people, I fear, confuse this story, this short story, with another one whose title is almost the same.
The Suitcase.
Yeah.
Kim Patelis.
And it's a much, that one is a much darker story.
Yes, of somebody carrying a suit in there, or pinching a suitcase inside a bus, and it ends up having,
Yeah. This is the morning show. We gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Terrible things. Mm. But it always struck me that the two stories could be played at the same night or in, at least in repertoire.
Like morning and afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could be as, right? Because they were written, by former, colleagues at Drum, magazine, you know.
And they both inhabit a kind of mystical reality.
Yeah, one was a drinker, the other non-drinker.
Yeah, well,
but both were former teachers, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah, that's an interesting part, that most of the other people who work the Drum were teachers or people who had a background in education.
Orlando West High School.
High School, yeah. As Kim Patelis with John the Matupings and Matlari.
And also Kabi
Ngoma. Yeah, musical. Mr. Bongile Kumalo's father.
Yep. We're going back. We're taking a tour of history here.
Yeah, well, history is still real. It's not, the past is not the past. It's here, but we're just reflecting.
Yeah, well, that's William Faulkner's version of the past is never the past. But do you like my idea of pairing the two? They're very different.
No, it is true because, as I'm saying, one is about love. The other one is this lonely person who's looking for riches, or for something to turn around and work.
Well, they're both searchers.
Yes, they do. Whether you call it both tragic episodes, but they are twists to life because you never can tell, is it Pandora's box he was looking for?
Yeah, be careful what you wish for because, you've got the suitcase now. What in the world?
Well, what else
are you going to do with it now that you know what's going on here? One of the things, I talked about this with a friend of mine, and they said, it is a shame that we seem to be recycling the older stories without moving to the future and writing new ones.
Yeah. Well, it's a difficult period because you also have to define your own role in a society that is traumatized in many ways by several things, images and all kinds of contradictions of expectations. We had hope 29 years ago. Now we appear to be on a precipice of hopelessness. So it is a question of whether the creative spirit is still there for you to rise beyond the pain or beyond the confusion.
Well, isn't that the strong topsoil to give a fertile plant some growth possibilities for quality, insightful writers to explore that set of?
Yes, that's why I was saying we are rising to that challenge through this play to give new meaning to life and even the story of Matilda, where we all assumed she is the witch that was always portrayed. But we give an understanding, a sympathetic One, I don't think we are condoning whatever had happened, but who are we to judge her? Is it not stated in the good book that who shall be the first one to cast the first stone against this woman who is assumed to be what? Not so good a character.
Assumed to be unfaithful, assumed to be unable to be an adult, to live with their problems.
And yes, to act in her own interest. So we are unpacking all this. And of course, we are opening up another window into questioning psychological and mental abuse, which is far more tragic than physical abuse. And this country has problems about relationships, men and women, women and men, men and children, where you get worried about what you hear on radio, television, in the print about another victim.
Part of the problem may be that we have reached a stage of ennui. Oh, well, another 50 people died.
No, who else? What else can I do? So I'm saying from a cultural and artistic point of view, we are raising the story of Matilda and also pointing the mirror at Philemon's behavior, because he is incapable of forgiving.
Yeah, that really goes more or less unchallenged in the earlier version.
Yeah, no, yes. Oh, he should be pitied. Oh, this poor husband who was cheated on by his wife. Oh, no. But he then ends up in prison himself and inflicting pain on the person. He should be forgiving and loving, because he says, I love you, I treasure you, I've always treasured you, but can't let go this image of this man.
We're going to take a quick ad break, and then we'll be right back for our final wrap-up. We're speaking with Motobi Motilatsi, and I'm Brooke Spector, and this is The Deep Dive.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is The Deep Dive. I'm Brooke Spector. My guest today, Motobi Motilatsi, and we're talking about the re-envisioning, the giving a new voice, a new direction, a new texture to a short story by Khan Temba, which has been anthologized and dramatized and used as the basis for a dance drama. And now, because we are where we are now in the world, the spotlight, the focus has shifted from the husband who is cheated upon to his wife, who has all of her life's ambitions thwarted, and we now hear her voice in this play. We understand her instead, or hopefully we will understand her instead.
We hope.
I don't want to give too much away here, but anyway, we were talking just a minute ago about the nature of the times now, the dislocations and the horrors and the feelings of enemy and what can we do, and isn't that the right soil for writers to try to figure this out for us? I don't see a whole lot of work which does that.
No, well, all of us are trying to find a safe space. Now, some of us wouldn't want to do that. That's why it's not a safe space to take up the issue of a feminist interpretation of a play that was overtly sexist, if one could use the phrase, unwittingly so, and then make it into a reflection on the current society. I mean, if you look at the statistics, are horrendous about what's going on against women, children. So this is almost like a reflection. Are we the sum total of what we read about? No. And is Matilda a representation of a bigger problem here?
But you have to always be careful not to turn something into a polemic.
Yes, that's why no preaching.
Yeah, I mean that, because then the audience
run away. Yeah, remember,
they go back somewhere.
Remember, the guilty in the audience will flee, and during interval, Yeah, but it is a question of we raise questions in a very creative way through music, because the music is therapeutic. And if you were to listen to Matilda, the violinist, let's Lebohang Letuaba, she is likely to be a huge find from a young perspective. She's 31. So I'm saying there are elements that uplift the spirit in the brain.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give people...
Yes, hope.
You get a little hope.
We shall overcome one day.
Or at least we'll survive.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking of great tragedies, which also give you the feeling of, strangely, a triumph.
Yes, that you will overcome this, because it's in the political arena that we are frustrated, but as human beings, we live lives that are not prescribed by politics, should not be prescribed by politicians.
So where is your novel about all this?
No, it is implied in everything I do. In fact, it is in the children's story of Saturn, because it is an international collection of young people from five countries, on five continents, and they decide they want to do the impossible, go and discover Saturn. They must be crazy. They must be crazy.
Or rich.
No, they're not rich. But they dare go where others would never.
We have been speaking with Motobi Motuwadzi, author, playwright, anthologist, public book publisher, children's short story creator, and most currently his a reconception of the stage play based on the short story by Kantemba, The Suit. And this time it's got music, it's got the female character is more than just a fleeting shadow on the stage. And it opens on the 19th of September?
No, it's 15th.
15th of September, excuse me.
Yeah, and the opening night is the 16th, and the last show is on the 24th, on Sunday, Heritage Day, which will be filmed for posterity.
So there's a chance people will see it 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Correct, yes. Now, I would like also to thank you, Brooke, for having given me my first trip to the U.S. in 1976 to attend
the
international writing program at Iowa University.
That's right. Yeah. I'd forgotten. That's why I ended up with the box.
Yes. Well, whilst I left for the States, you had to make sure the security do not. Because remember, I left wearing the clothes I had on my back, because the night before, my house was burgled and my suitcase was stolen.
I have forgotten all about that.
Yes, yeah.
I'm glad you didn't, but now...
No, I wanted to thank you publicly.
Well, that's amazing. You notice I'm, you can't see it on radio, but I'm blushing.
it's been
a great pleasure. I'm pleased we could do this. I'm pleased we could help publicize the work. I'm going to go see it, obviously, and I hope everybody who's listening shows up as well.
Yeah, no, thanks to 119 and the listenership, and hope to be back again with my next project.
We'll talk. Okay. We shall. This has been Brooke Spector with The Deep Dive. Every Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Today's guest was Motobi Motuwadzi. Go see the play.
Thank you.